4. 4 months after the elderly man with the botched skull surgery died at Rhode Island Hospital, another surgeon at the hospital committed a similar error, operating on the wrong section of another patient's head. The state's health department reprimanded the facility and fined it $50,000. 18 months later, a surgeon operated on the wrong part of a child's mouth during a cleft palate surgery. 5 months after that, a surgeon operated on a patient's wrong finger. 10 months after that, a drill bit was left inside a man's head. For these transgressions, the hospital was fined another $450,000. Rhode Island Hospital is not the only medical institution where such accidents happen, of course, but they were unlucky enough to become the poster child for such mistakes. Local newspapers printed detailed stories of each incident. Television stations set up camp outside the hospital. The national media joined in, too. The problem's not going away, a vice president of the National Hospital Accreditation Organization told an Associated Press reporter. Rhode Island Hospital, the state's medical authorities declared to reporters, was a facility in chaos. "It felt like working in a war zone," a nurse told me. "There were TV reporters ambushing doctors as they walked to their cars. One little boy asked me to make sure the doctor wouldn't accidentally cut off his arm during surgery. It felt like everything was out of control." As critics and the media piled on, a sense of crisis emerged within the hospital. Some administrators started worrying that the facility would lose its accreditation. Others became defensive, attacking the television stations for singling them out. "I found a button that said scapegoat that I was going to wear to work," one doctor told me. "My wife said that was a bad idea." Then an administrator, Dr. Mary Reich Cooper, who had become chief quality officer a few weeks before the 86-year-old man's death, spoke up. In meetings with the hospital's administrators and staff, Cooper said that they were looking at the situation all wrong. "All this criticism wasn't a bad thing," she said. "In fact, the hospital had been given an opportunity that few organizations ever received." "I saw this as an opening," Dr. Cooper told me. "There's a long history of hospitals trying to attack these problems and failing. Sometimes people need a jolt, and all the bad publicity was a serious jolt. It gave us a chance to re-examine everything." Rhode Island Hospital shut down all elective surgery units for an entire day, a huge expense, and put the entire staff through an intensive training program that emphasized teamwork and stressed the importance of empowering nurses and medical staff. The chief of neurosurgery resigned, and a new leader was selected. The hospital invited the Center for Transforming Healthcare, a coalition of leading medical institutions, to help redesign its surgical safeguards. Administrators installed video cameras in operating rooms to make sure timeouts occurred, and checklists were mandated for every surgery. A computerized system allowed any hospital employee to anonymously report problems that endangered patient health. Some of those initiatives had been proposed at Rhode Island Hospital in previous years, but they had always been struck down. Doctors and nurses didn't want people recording their surgeries or other hospitals telling them how to do their jobs. But once a sense of crisis gripped Rhode Island Hospital, everyone became more open to change. Other hospitals have made similar shifts in the wake of mistakes and have brought down error rates that just years earlier had seemed immune to improvement. Like Rhode Island Hospital, these institutions have found that reform is usually possible only once a sense of crisis takes hold. For instance, one of Harvard University's teaching hospitals, Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center, went through a spate of errors and internal battles in the late 1990s that spilled into newspaper articles and ugly shouting matches between nurses and administrators at public meetings. There was talk among some state officials of forcing the hospital to close departments until they could prove the mistakes would stop. Then the hospital, under attack, coalesced around solutions to change its culture. Part of the answer was safety rounds, in which every 3 months, a senior physician discussed a particular surgery or diagnosis and described in painstaking detail a mistake or near miss to an audience of hundreds of her or his peers. "It's excruciating to admit a mistake publicly," said Dr. Donald Moorman, until recently Beth Israel Deaconess Associate Surgeon-in-Chief. 20 years ago, doctors wouldn't do it. But a real sense of panic has spread through hospitals now, and even the best surgeons are willing to talk about how close they came to a big error. The culture of medicine is changing.